The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the July-August edition of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And when we look at the cover, we have outstanding gymnast, the GOAT, greatest of all time, Simone Biles. And it has here, undefeated in the all-round since 2013, a record 25 world championship medals, five-time world all-around champion, three-time laureate sportswoman of the year, seven national titles, most decorated American gymnast ever, two-time USA female Olympic athlete of the year, highest ever margin of victory in an Olympic all-round final, four skills named after her. Is there room for more? She already rewrote the record book. Now she's redefining the rules. Wow, is there room for more? Well, let's go to the lineup. Another picture of Simone. Olympic preview, page 31. U.S. gymnast Simone Biles could make history, but she's not the only big story in Tokyo this summer. Plus, a look at the game to the future. Looking to emulate Aaron Rodgers and be a game show host? Here's how to train. What if the Pirates hadn't, and that's on page 20, what if the Pirates hadn't pulled out of a deal to send Barry Bonds to the Braves? Page 22. Last year we introduced the Hall of Cool. Find out who and what made our second class of inductees. Page 42. Playing in goal requires training, equipment, and experience. Or for these emergency goalies, incredible determination. Page 46. Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter took different paths but ended up in the same place as an ace on Vanderbilt's pitching staff. Page 48. And some of our faves. Freeze frame, page 2. Sports cards, page 7. The treehouse, page 9. Hot take, page 12. Birthdays, page 14. Posters, page 27. What's the call, page 52. Games, page 53. Art gallery, page 54. And Buzz Beamer, page 56. So let's go to freeze frame, our first one. Picture here of Mike Trout. Snagged. Trout, May 15th, 2021, Boston, Massachusetts. Red Star pitcher Martin Perez did the unthinkable. He didn't give up a hit to Mike Trout. Okay, so Perez walked him twice, but he induced a flyout in their other meeting as Boston shut down the Angels' attack in a 9-0 win. Despite the offer, Trout finished the day batting .336 with a league-best .464 on-base percentage. Next freeze frame. Looks like this board is lacrosse. Maryland versus Virginia. Double chip scoop. May 31st, 2021. East Hartford, Connecticut. Virginia senior Jared Connors did more than track down this ground ball in the national title game. He scored the Cavaliers' sixth goal en route to a 17-16 win over the Terps. Maryland drew within one with 10.6 seconds left, but UVA goalie Alex Rhodes stopped the final shot of the game, sealing the Cavs' second straight championship. Oceana Nina Dobrev want to save sharks. I used to be scared, but then I learned the facts. Nina Dobrev, actress and ocean advocate. Sharks keep the oceans healthy and aren't really interested in us. If you actually are interested in their fins, that's scary. Millions of sharks end up in the global fin trade every year. Visit ocean.org/save sharks to see more from Nina and learn how you can help protect these vital ocean animals. Who's Who in Sports, page 8. Sam Kerr, Chelsea FC forward. Kerr led the FA Women's Super League with 21 goals in 22 games in the 2021 season. Before joining Chelsea, Kerr led the NWSL in scoring three seasons in a row for Sky Blue FC in 2017 and the Chicago Red Stars in 2018 and 19. She is the leading goal scorer in NWSL history. She's 5'6". She was born September 10th, 1993. Her hometown, Fremantle, Australia. Did you know Kerr is the captain of Australia's national team? The squad's nickname is the Matildas, after an Australian folk song. Next, we have Zach LaVine, NBA star of the Chicago Bulls guard. During a season in which he averaged 27.4 points per game, LaVine was named to his first All-Star team. Known primarily as a dunker early in his career, LaVine shot a career-high 50.7%, including 41.9% from the three-point range. He was a 2014 first-round pick of the Timberwolves after one season at UCLA. Zach's height is 6'5". His weight is 200 pounds. He was born May 10, 1995. His hometown, Renton, Washington. Did you know the only Bulls player to average more than 27 points per game in a season is Michael Jordan, who did it 11 times with a best of 37.1. And finally for today, Daryl Dike, USMNT forward. Dike earned his first step for the United States on the January 31st, 2021 against Trinidad and Tobago. After scoring 8 goals in 17 games as a rookie for the Orlando City SC, he was loaned last season to Barnsley of the English Football League Championship, where he scored 9 goals. He was named the most outstanding player of the 2019 NCAA tournament for Virginia. Daryl, his height is 6'2", his weight is 220 pounds. He was born June 3rd, 2000, his hometown, Edmond, Oklahoma. Did you know, though, that Virginia's record streak of 39 straight NCAA tournament appearances was snapped in 2020? Let's find out what the Treehouse kids are up to. Take a hike. Boy, that's the last of them, Mary. It ain't here with a airplane for the water. Olympics preview, always a toughie. The team must be pretty wiped out. Nah, they didn't even break a sweat. I bet they're ready to start the next issue right now. And here you have some guys sleeping. Right, guys? Finally finished the issue, huh? Ready to enjoy the summer sunshine? Maybe it'd go quicker if we had a full staff. Shouldn't you be at luau or pool party or something? Hey, you fired us, remember? You only wanted the employees you could control, and it looks like you controlled them into exhaustion. And you're still shipping the issues on a plane? You know we had nearly perfected printing press to mailbox teleportation 3 months ago, right? You did things your way as editor-in-chief, and now I do them my way. Besides, going back to the old ways of doing things can be rewarding. Well, since you feel that way, I'm sure you and your staff would love to come on an old-fashioned hike in the woods with me and the rest of the camp SI kids. I don't think so. Like you said, my staff is pretty wiped out. Hey, wait. Let's go, Buzz. Yay, camping. Looks like somebody fell in the water. Snap. Spunk. Yeah, they're building campsites. The key to a good s'more is getting your fire to exactly 611 degrees Fahrenheit. That's it. You promised me some old-fashioned camping trip. Look at you. Look at all of you. This isn't what camping is all about. Taking shortcuts, using fancy gizmos. You've got to rough it and enjoy the great. Wait, what was that? And a big gorilla. Come on, Whit, do something. Don't you have a gadget that will scare him off or teleport us back to the treehouse? Oh, now you like my tech. Gloat later. Stop, Bigfoot, now. Here it is. That's your gizmo? That's going to save us? The new issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids? He gives it to the creature. And the creature is smiling. That's Squatch, the old Seattle Supersonic mascot. I bring him every issue. He loves what to call. Ever since his team left for Oklahoma City, he's lived in these woods with the rest of the retired mascots. Duh. I knew that. Yeah. Well, I also hear you know how to make the perfect s'more. So, after you do, what's the call? Do you ever read my column? You're talking to the mascot. Do you like it? What if I wrote that the Supersonics should come back? And tune in next time for more of the Treehouse Gang. Warm up. Hot take. Greek tragedy. This stadium looked like ancient history in 2014, 10 years after the Athens Games. No one should host the Olympics. The Olympics are like a hidden camera prank. It's great fun until it happens to you. The people of Japan are not happy that their country is hosting this summer's games. A poll released in May revealed that more than 80% of Japan opposed the Olympics proceeding as planned, with 43% wanting them canceled altogether. Who can blame them? Spending tens of billions of dollars to host people from other countries seems like a confusion of priorities as the country struggles to distribute COVID-19 vaccines. Fans hoping for fewer controversial post-pandemic games, however, should know that anti-Olympic demonstrations have already been taking place in Paris, host of the 2024 Games, in Los Angeles, 2028. While the French protest group has a far superior name to the L.A. one, Saccage 2024, which means rampage in France versus No Olympics L.A., their grievances are similar. Both groups fear that temporary accommodations made for temporary events will have lasting repercussions on the city's permanent residents. The French group highlights the ecological impact of building new structures on previously green spaces, while the LA organizers worry that the games will increase homelessness in the city. Take one glance at the stadium graveyards from past games and their points start to make sense. Rio de Janeiro, host of the 2016 Olympics, has already let many of its stadiums fall into disrepair after just 5 years. While photos like the one on the previous page look like stills from an awesome post-apocalyptic video game, they're a harsh reminder of money that might have been better spent. Montreal's debt from the 1976 Olympics lasted well into the 21st century, and its Olympic Stadium, formerly the home of the Expos, had become a white elephant, a structure too expensive to maintain or destroy. So why in the wide world of sports do countries want, let alone bid, on the privilege of hosting the games? National pride plays a big role. The Olympics are an opportunity to present a country in its best light to a worldwide TV audience. And if run efficiently, the events can be a profitable tourist attraction. Ironically, given the current protests, the previous Tokyo and LA Olympics have long been held up as models for the benefits the event can provide. The 1964 Tokyo Games showed Japan as a peaceful modern superpower following a post-war malaise. The 1984 LA Games, which relied heavily on the city's existing sports infrastructure, turned a $250 million profit. But the world has changed since 1984. Maybe the Olympics just aren't worth the trouble anymore. Entertainment options are more fractured than ever. The 2018 Winter Olympics were the least watched on record in the United States. It's hard to stake your national pride on an opening ceremony if kids around the world aren't going to look up from watching Rubik's Cube solving videos on Twitch. Still, the Olympics are cool. The Summer and Winter Games are monuments to a shared humanity and universal love of creating big flames with smaller flames. Can the Olympics continue to inspire without getting bogged down in an endless cycle of protests? Yes, if they follow my simple plan for a permanent Olympic venue. If the Games always happened in the same place, the cost would be lower. So who gets to be the full-time host? The all-time medal leader. That'd be the United States of America, of course. But that's not super convenient for the majority of the world's countries, which are in the other hemisphere. So let's go for the exact geographical center for all the countries on Earth, calculated in 2003 to be north 40 degrees 52, east 34 degrees 30, a.k.a. Turkey's Iceland province. Sure, it's mountainous and landlocked, but who watches sailing anyway? And I've already thought of a great Winter Olympic venue that's equally central on the globe, the South Pole. There's already a bunch of different countries' flags down there. What could go wrong? Do you have a question for Kip Shoremore? A complaint? A topic he should write about in a future issue? Send your letters to Kip's Treehouse based editor at kip.shoremore@si.com. More warm-up. Movies tune-up game. You probably think of him as a goofy character from TV who makes you laugh. But did you know he also once played basketball and even appeared in a movie called Space Jam? I'm talking, of course, about Charles Barkley. Well, now that classic flick in which Michael Jordan teams up with the Looney Tunes gang is getting the reboot treatment in Space Jam, A New Legacy, starring LeBron James. Trapped in the digital world, the king must save his son and himself by leading Bugs Bunny and company against a team of ringers. Hey, if he could beat the Warriors. November 15th, 1996, was the first release of Space Jams. Release date, New Space Jams, A New Legacy, July 16th, 2021. Classic white, Toon Squad jerseys, powder blue. 1996, villain actor was Danny DeVito. 2021, the villain actor would be Don Cheadle. Star power, Bill Murray as himself. 2021, Zendaya as Lola Bunny. Opposing guard has the powers of Muggsy Bogues, Diana Taurasi. How about some birthdays for July? July 1st, Minnesota Twins designated hitter Nelson Cruz is 41 years old. Zion Williamson, July 6th, turns 21. July 24th, Vegas Golden Knight Robin Lerner celebrates his 30th birthday. And July 28th, USA softball pitcher Monica Abbott turns 36. Moving on to page 15. Interview by kid reporter Anna Label. The Grid. So we have Andrei Shezhnikov, swimmer Jessica Long, and San Francisco 49ers tight end George Kittle. What job would you want if you weren't an athlete? Carolina Hurricanes winger says coach. Swimmer Jessica Long, dermatologist. 49ers tight end George Kittle says school teacher. Who's your favorite actor or actress? Andrew Shevchenkov says Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Jessica Lange says Blake Lively. George Kittle says Tom Hardy and Gal Gadot. If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why? Spider-Man's, says Andrei Shevchenkov. To fly would be incredible and a lot easier to get around, says Jessica Long. George Kittle, whatever Spider-Man can do. Who's the funniest athlete you know of? Andre says Conor McGregor. Jessica Long says Mackenzie Cone. George Kittle says, Kendrick Bourne. What's your favorite emoji? Andre says, the smile. Jessica Long, I don't know. And the googly eye says, George Kittle. What's your favorite book? Molly's Game, says Andre. Jessica says, the summer I turned pretty. And George, the Lord of the Rings. Who's the toughest opponent you've ever faced? Andre says, Victor Hedman. Jessica Long says, Elisa Vadiatkin. And George Kittle says, my very first start I had to block Jabril Peppers. And finally, who was your favorite athlete growing up? Andrei Shvezhnikov says, Usain Bolt. Jessica Lang says, Aaron Popovich. And George Kittle says, other than my dad, Dallas Clark. Continuing with warm-up, future star Kayla Gomez. Her birthplace is El Paso, Texas. Her birth date is September 5th, 2003, and her sport, boxing. Kayla Gomez is a 13-time youth national champion, has something most fighters don't literally have in their corner, her mom. Kayla, 17, is trained by both her mother, Crystal Aceves, who is also an amateur boxer, and her grandmother, Cindy. My mom has helped me through my worst days, my best days, Kayla says. Our relationship was great, but now it's deeper. Kayla won her latest title in the 112-pound division at the USA Boxing National Championships in April, improving her record to 55-4, and has her sights set on the 2024 Olympics. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a sports kid of the month, have an adult submit your nomination at sportskids@si.com. And, of course, it shows Kayla with her fighting pose and practicing on the bag. Terrence the Turtle, volunteer sea life spokes turtle for Recycle Across America. Fans, continuing with warm-up, Oliver's happy twist. Do you remember the first time one of your favorite players got traded? One four-year-old hockey fan in Calgary will never forget. In April, after the Flames sent goalie David Rich to the Maple Leafs, a video of Rich's number one fan, Oliver, went viral. As Dad Brady broke the news to him, the youngster asked, why? Five times, concluding, I want Rich to be for the frame still, and burying his face in a couch cushion. Among those who saw Oliver's adorable disappointment was Rich himself, who gave his fan a FaceTime call. Oliver lost the goalie but gained a pal. Not a bad trade after all. Sports science. Life in the slow lane. With his teams winning 15-4 in the ninth inning of a May 17th game, Yermin Mercedes of the White Sox crushed a 429-foot home run off Twins catcher Williams Astudillo above. That led to controversy. By swinging at a 3-0 pitch with a big lead, especially with a position player pitching, Mercedes violated baseball's silly unwritten rules. Most interesting, though, was the fact that the pitch he hit was traveling just 47 miles per hour. Ironically, it might seem easier to hit a home run off a blazing fastball. Just take your bat out and let the ball bounce off it, right? Not so fast. The two biggest factors in determining how far a ball flies are the angle at which the ball is hit and its exit velocity, or how fast the ball leaves the bat. The speed of a pitch definitely impacts the exit velocity. Every mile per hour of a pitch speed is worth between 1/10 and 2/10 of a mile per hour in the exit velocity, says Alan Nathan, a professor of the University of Illinois who studies the physics of baseball. But more important, six times more important, is how fast the bat is traveling. Nathan says an additional mile per hour of bat speed is worth 1.1 to 1.2 miles per hour of exit velocity. Against a slow pitcher, a hitter can presumably wind up and take a bigger cut. Nathan points out that slow pitch softball players have higher bat speeds than major leaguers. So while you can hit a ball a long way with a relatively feeble swing against a scorching heater, you can do more damage taking a big whack at a lob. Swing away. Aaron Rodgers won't be the last athlete to trade one buzzer beater for another. So here's our training course for would-be game show presenters. Host with the most. Number one, new episode, outfits change. Athletes are used to wearing the same dirty dud for an entire game, but hosts film multiple episodes in a day and change clothes to give the illusion of the time passing. Get that tie knotting time under 5 seconds or it's back to podcast narrating. Number two, pronunciation pop quiz. Not every game show requires a deep vocabulary. The toughest word on Supermarket Sweep is tortellini. But aspiring Jeopardy hosts need to nail foreign names and lines from classic literature. Remember, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Number three, small talk gantlet. When not writing small blurb for children's sports magazines, I'm usually either organizing or painting my collection of model spaceships. Zoning out reading this? You're not going to make it in show business. A top-flight presenter has a witty response to any contestant's anecdote. Number four, time podium dash. People aren't turning in to see someone walk around. They're watching to see if they know more answers than the person on TV. Sure, navigating a tiny set sounds easy for a former athlete, but well-tailored clothes are not as forgiving as shorts. Number five, calculating final scores. Quarterbacks have a knack for knowing when they're down in a game by any multiple of 7 or 3. But if Susie wagers half of 44,356 that the capital of Burma is Yangon, does she beat Ralph? No. The capital of Burma is Naypyidaw. Loser consolation. Your life's dream as a pro athlete was to lead the private to the World Series. Their dream as a contestant was to shake your hand triumphantly during reruns on the game show network. Let them down easy. After all, you know what it's like to lose. You were on the Pirates. Parking lot obstacle course. Finally, a skill that translates from an athletic career, avoiding people who want to express their love for you. Pro tip, don't park in the spot right by the studio door that screams VIP. Try to sneak out the back and watch out for the tours. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.